I'd like to pray again. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've given us this privilege to open your word. I pray that especially this morning, Lord, that you would just help each one of us to see as we open the word, Lord, that you are sovereign in our life. And sometimes, Lord, we go forward in areas of our life and we don't even begin to understand how you are leading, and yet when we come through the other end of it and see how you marvelously and wonderfully just worked in each one of our lives. And we just pray that as we open your word, that you would help us to learn obedience, that you would give us a heart to accept by faith the truth of our life. And Lord, that you'd help each one of us to grow, to bring glory to your name. And so we just commit our time to you. Open each one of our hearts to understand what we need to say and how we communicate it. And again, as Bob has said, Lord, may you give me a clear mind to be able to teach the word as we lead into this message. And we commit it to you in the precious name of Christ. Amen. This morning I'm going to do something I've never did before in my life ever, with a message. And I have one verse to preach on. Never done that before. If you reminded each one of us, Leslie sent us all an email about 6 or 8 weeks ago. I don't remember exactly when it was, about Brother Crystal and how he was praising God, how God had finally brought those five little ones that had been divided for well over a year and been fought in the courts of law. And in the process of all of that, they was that day rejoicing, bringing home that last little one to make all five of those siblings come together as a family. And when we was reading that, I just was rejoicing when he was telling the story about little Micah. And he's telling little Micah, he says, "Now Micah," he says, "I want you to remember what God did here today." That just so gripped my heart. But what we really didn't understand is about this, and what this message is going to be all about, what we didn't really understand completely is that, just stop and think about, weeks before that we had prayed endlessly to allow him to go back to India, because he was caused to leave India because of his faith in Christ. And the Lord forced him out of a country of his birth and put him back into the United States to live. That was no accident. That was God working. If that would have never happened to him, he would never have come in contact with these five little ones. And he would never have begun to understand why God brought him back to them. But that was God's purpose for him and his life. And when I was thinking about that and reading that story, that's really what inspired me to want to speak about what I want to speak about today. And there's one verse that I want to read. You don't even have to turn there. It's found in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. And here's what the New King James says. Or this is my translation. "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord orders," and the word "orders" there is the idea of arranging his steps. You know, that's exactly what he did with Dr. Crystal. He pulled him out of his culture, brought him into a circumstance that he didn't want to be in, and his heart was really not there to be here, and yet God ultimately was glorified in all of it, wasn't he? Here's what the NIV says. "In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." I want to illustrate that to you this morning by something that happened in my life. You talk about old, I'm trying to look back. At least 20 years ago at least. Maybe 25. And I hope I can get together in my my thoughts, what I want to tell you, because it's about of an experience that happened that literally changed my life. Changed the life of my wife. And it transformed my life forever. This experience. I want to go back to around 1988. Back in 1988, I was pastoring a little small country church in a little town called Turtletown, Cherubusco, Indiana. I don't know if you ever know that. It's about 30 miles west of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And in that little church, I preached two messages every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Bible study and prayer meeting every Wednesday night. And I was working through all of the process of that. And I got to the place in that ministry where I just felt futile because I didn't see people growing in their faith. And it wasn't because I wasn't committed to the Word or didn't have putting effort into the Word. It just that I didn't see them growing. And so consequently, I decided to pull back and ultimately resign from the church. And in the process of resigning, I had been taking an old 1884 old farmhouse and remodeling it. That sound familiar to some of you? And I was in towards the end of that, and I had our former pastor that was our pastor when I was in seminary in Warsaw, Indiana, had drawn up a really close friendship with my wife because my wife used to be the secretary of the dean of the seminary. And he just would come into her office and they become just unbelievably genuine friends over the years. And so I was in the process of finishing that house up and I didn't know what the Lord had for my life. And he came over and visited us and saw our completed house and they told him we was going to be selling the house. And he says, well, I got an offer for you. This is my wife. He says, we need a new church secretary. And I'd like for your wife to come back and to be that secretary. I didn't pray about it. I didn't pray about it or anything. It just seemed like the right thing to do. This, I got my house sold. It seemed the right thing to do to move there to that town. And I said, well, I can go back there and I can do some task. I can do a little bit of carpentry work and make money to supplement what my wife makes. And so consequently, we put our house up for sale. We had it up for 3 months through a realtor and get it sold. I put it up by myself, sold it in 2 weeks. So that told me there that the Lord was in this whole process. So we took everything, collected all of our furniture, moved everything to a mobile home in Warsaw, Indiana, and went back to our old church that we was in while I was in seminary. And so consequently, I went back there and well, when we got back, Shirley settled into the job, and I started picking up quite a few jobs while I was there. And I started to, we were quite content when we moved back, and then all of a sudden, everything stopped. I didn't have any jobs. The jobs just stopped. And I didn't know what we was going to do as far as a source of income for me. And so consequently, during that process, our assistant pastor at the church found out about a factory up north called Chortime Brock. And if anybody's ever been out in the country saw all these big grain bins, Brock is the biggest producer of grain bins in the world. Chortime's the biggest producer of chicken feeder systems in the world. It's a little town called Milford, Indiana. And he says, well, they're hiring up there. Why don't you go up there and try to get a job? And so I took his advice and I went up there and I went in for the interview and I started interviewing the guy. And then all of a sudden, this guy walked across the aisle and I noticed who it was. And his name was Rick Van Pufflin. Rick was the... He was in charge of all the human resources of that company. And as I was interviewing him, he told the guy that was interviewing him, he says, don't worry about doing a background check on him. He says, he can be assured he's going to do a good job for you. So I got the job, and I didn't even have to go through any process of them interviewing me. That was again, was of the Lord. So I started on the second shift, and I started in the press room. And what we did is we stamped out products, little parts that made up the whole as they would assemble everything later on. I'm going to make a long story short. That's why I asked Anna for a little bit more time. And I hope I don't go over, but I need to get finish what I do, so please bear with me. So I started working there, and as I began working there, I started getting real resentful to the Lord. Why do I have to be working in this factory? I have a skill that I can do that I could enjoy. And consequently, why did you have to place me here? That went on for over 7 months in my life. And every day that I would go in there, I was resentful, and I just had absolutely no joy in the Lord. And the process was happening. Now don't ask me to explain what happened. But one day I come to the place where I said, I just can't keep going on like this. So I says, Lord, and this was sort of how my prayer went. I know exactly what it went, but this is sort of how my prayer went. Lord, you know what my circumstances are. You know how unhappy I am. And I says, but if you promise to be with me, I will come in here every day to this job. I will be the best worker. And all I was doing was punching parts every day. And I thought I would be at that place no more than 2 or 3 months. You know how long I ended up being there? 10 years. And during that process, I had tried numerous times to get jobs in the maintenance department that I was completely qualified for. And every time that I would apply for a job, the Lord just kept closing me off and would not allow me to get a job that I wanted. And consequently, but one thing I can tell you, from that moment on, when I prayed that prayer to the Lord, I went in there every day, and the peace of God was true of my life for 9 years of my life. I had complete peace. I wasn't happy with the job, but I had complete peace. I was no longer fighting. And I thought I'd be there 3 months, I ended up being there 10 years. Now, the reason I'm giving this story is to show you what happened in our life by a series of events. When I left my pastorate, I could have cared less ever going back into the ministry. That's how I felt. I didn't want to even be involved at all. And it was during that time, as I was punching those little buttons, month after month, year after year after year, the Lord began to restore in my heart the desire to want to teach the Bible again. And the Lord opened up several independent Bible churches for me to be able to be an itinerant preacher at. And so I did that for almost 3 years, and then one time I thought I was going to be called to be the pastor of the church. And then 1 week, the two elders come in and told me they was going to get somebody that lived near there because I was traveling 90 miles. But during that time, the Lord had led me to a teacher up at the school I used to go to take a trip to Ireland. And at the time, I was not only preaching, but I was teaching the older people Sunday school class in that church. And consequently, when that happened, this guy challenged me to take a trip to Ireland and to see what Ireland was all about. And I don't know, to this day, I do not who did, but somebody gave us enough money to be able to pay for the whole plane flight. Not only that, I was working at this company and I only had 1 week's vacation time. But we happened to have a plant manager that was a believer, and I went to him and told him the Lord was giving me an opportunity to go to Ireland when I'd be able to get a month off from my job. And he allowed me to do that. I went to Ireland and we spent over a month that we were in Ireland. And we were so busy that during that time we didn't even think about it. So when we came back, excuse me again, you know, this is pretty much a habit, isn't it? So we came back from Ireland and we went back maybe 1 or 2 days and we both looked at each other and said, the Lord wants us to go to Ireland, doesn't he? And there was no doubt in each one of our minds that he wanted us to go back to Ireland. So we got in touch with the mission board and we got accepted at that mission board and we started the process of deputation. And for the first 3.5 years of that deputation, we went to between 50, I don't know, maybe 70 churches, I don't know exactly. Shared our ministry about what our vision for Ireland was. And after the end of that 3.5 years, we only had 15% of our support. We needed close to $4,000 a month to be able to live in that country because it was so expensive to live there. So consequently, what happened is I came back home, and one time one of the leaders in our church tried to use Abraham as an example. He says, well, God never allowed Abraham to experience the promised land. Maybe he doesn't want you in Ireland. And I said, and I kind of grated against that because God pretty much close sure did that. And so we began praying, Lord, and here was my prayer again. Lord, you know my circumstances. You know where we're at. We've only got 15%. If I'm willing to quit this process, if you don't want us to go to Ireland, I'm willing to stop right now. But if you want me to go there, I want you to show me something tangible so that I can go forward and to know that I'm in your will. And consequently, what happened about 2 weeks after that, we visited a man by the name of Joe Stevens and Vice Stevens. Joe was a friend of mine from my home church in Akron, Ohio, that was a potato chip salesman, and he had recently had a stroke. And anytime you'd share with him, he'd start crying. And so we went there, and we wanted to take him out to eat and pay for it, and they wouldn't let us pay for it. Now, mind you, this couple, he had this stroke, he was retired, and the only income he had was an income of about $900 a month, Social Security income. So what happened is that we had a wonderful visit with him, we left, and then, to make a long story short, what happened, we got a letter from the mission board saying that this couple had determined to give us $25 a month. Stop and think about that. $25 a month on $900 income. And you had house taxes and everything. And it was at that point when I saw that this people, and this widow lady, after her husband died maybe a year and a half later, she upped the support to $40 a month. And when I told her that she didn't have to do it, she says, when I make a commitment, I keep it. The whole point, to make a long story short, the Lord brought, from that time on, less than a year and a half later, he brought in all the money that we needed to go to Ireland. And we spent the most blessed years of our life in that country. That would never have been possible if I would not have had that job that led up to that. And there's a second aspect of that job that was so important. I'm going to get done quicker than what I thought I was going to get done. But what happened is as when we started working at that company, in about the second year, the Lord gave us the opportunity to that company allowed us an opportunity to take out of our pay each week 16% of everything that we made, and they matched that with another donation and put it into our fund. And in a period of 9 years, it was one of the most prosperous times in American history stock market during Bill Clinton's age. The stock market exploded, and there wasn't a year for almost 6 years straight that we didn't make 30% on our money. And it was during that period of time that at the end of that 10 years, when I finally left, that account was worth over $100,000. And after we left the company, the day we got ready to leave the company, everybody got together and the whole company came together to have a party for us. And it was just a blessed time of seeing, looking back. I still have friends from back in that time. But the point that I'm trying to make with you here is with that money, not to bring it late to myself, but God allowed us to take that money and put it in the bank, and we lost 20% of that. But then we put it in the fund. But we ended up having enough money that after we was in Ireland for over 7 years, the Lord led us to make a decision, along with the advice we had with others, to prepare for the future and build the retirement house. And we wanted to use that retirement house as a missionary home for people that had blessed our life. It had numerous people. And all the time that we were in Ireland, I can remember we never had a person that had committed to us that never kept a promise to us. And we never went without naught. And all the time that we were in Ireland, we never had a financial worry during that period of time. And so consequently, when we left there, we was able to put that money at I can't even think of the investment company. We left it there all the time we were in Ireland. And you say, well, what's such a big deal about that? The whole point of that is that every one of you know here that when we moved from our house in Mount Vernon, we sold our house, didn't we? When we sold our house, we came to this city and we looked for 3 months for a house and finally found a house. And then once we found that house, I don't even know how I even had the strength back then to remodel that house. Every one of you know that I took and just tore that whole house apart and remodeled the whole house. But the point of all of this is that with the money that we had in that fund and the money we sold our house for, we was able to invest into this house and pay cash for it, and today we don't owe a thing. What's the point of everything that I'm trying to say here? If I would not have been obedient to the Lord and been content and stayed at that company, I would never have had any of that. And today I do not have the worry of any of that, of the future financially for me, because the Lord's taking care of me with the money that He provided while I was on that job. And the whole point of this message here is that man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. He directed my steps in an area where I absolutely did not want to go, and I didn't care to go. But in the midst of going along that path, He gave me joy in the midst of all of that. And along the way, He gave us a desire of the ministry who allowed us to fill the desire of our hearts. And along the way, He provided for us to where, as we're getting older, and you know that I'm not getting any older, when He's talking about age this morning, that guy's 77, well, that's what I am today. Sometimes I feel like I'm 90. But the whole point about it is that the Lord, in the midst of taking care of me, took care of my wife, gave us a sense of joy. And every time, as we're talking about people taking all of these lavish vacations and all of that, it doesn't concern me whether or not I have any of that. The only thing that concerns me is, can you use me, Lord? Can you use me in the gifts that you've given me? And you know, some of you have gone through tremendous experiences, haven't you? Experiences where you haven't necessarily been happy about what has happened to you. But the whole point of it is, and I challenge you like I challenge myself, what are you doing about that? Do you have joy in your life because of what God is doing in your life, in your job, with your wife, with your children? Is there joy because of those areas of your life and my life? And sometimes I don't have that, but when I don't have it, I look back and I forget what God's done for me, haven't I? Have you done that? And what does he mean to you? And when he brings something into your life and my life that where we seem like we can't handle it, do you handle it the way that brings honor and glory to Christ? Because you know, when we come to the end of our life, the only thing that's going to count is what we do for him. Amen. How we use our gifts in this body. Every one of the people in this body are important, and they're special. They're special because they're part of the body, and we're joined together because of Christ. And I trust that as you, I don't know what God's going to allow you to experience in the future, but do you believe this verse? That when you make plans, you might have a goal and God steps in, he stops that goal from coming to fruition. What are you going to do to handle that? That's the whole point, isn't it? And we can take courage from the story of Joseph that was read this morning. Remember Joseph? He kind of held the privilege that he had with his father, with his brothers, and his brothers became resentful, didn't they? And they ended up selling him into slavery in Egypt. And while he was there, he was able to interpret the Pharaoh's dream. And through that dream, he was able to be promoted to the prime minister of the country, in charge of everything. And as his father was dying, his father was telling the brothers to go back to him and to ask for his forgiveness for what they had done for him. And they went back to him with great fear and trepidation. And Joseph tried to calm their spirits and told them, you meant it for good, but God meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The same thing happened to David when he was being pursued by Saul, wasn't it? Since he was being pursued every day and every day and every day, he says, but God did not allow him to get a hold of him. Why? Because God had made a promise to him that one day you are going to be the anointed king. God has a point in our life. There's a future for each one of us. And when we see those things that come in, we need to just not be alarmed by them in the sense of bringing fear and the trepidation into our hearts, but to be able to sort out the emotions and the feelings that come with some of that. And begin to learn, like the proverb, writer of Proverbs told his son, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. I am so thankful that I went through that experience of 10 years. I would never take nothing to replace that experience that I had. If I was to go back and go through that experience again, I would go back and repeat it 100 times over and over and over, because it is a testimony that I made plans, but the Lord directed my path. And he directed my path in a way that brought great joy to my heart. And I trust that as you go through those experiences, when I think of all of this, I think of Esau. Esau, for so many years, had prayed. Hadn't worked in a long, long time. Now when I talk to Esau, it's just such a great joy to see his smile on his face about how the Lord has given him a job that he loves, given him something of purpose in this life. And he did that with Anthony. And if we have a testimony, I'm sure he's done that with you. Stop and think about Bob Matthews. He was down for 6 months of his life and probably didn't think he'd ever get back up because of the injury. He couldn't even move his arm. He couldn't do the work that he was prepared for. And all of a sudden, now he's going to be taking care of this big construction project here at this church. Would you ever thunk it many years, months ago? We have a faithful God. And no matter what path he takes you down, he will direct your path and my path. And I'd like to ask Leslie to pray as we close.
Before we close the meeting, I just wanted to add a letter to what Brother Clark is like this. Mr. Philip, which will give us greater meaning, I think, in the testimony that Brother Pushback has shared. That is, Dr. Christopher Philip, who's kind of did his medical studies years, earning as a good doctor, doing well, and yet the Lord moved him to go to India. But when he was thrown out, in a sense, and could not go back to serve in Shanti for 3 years, there was something that came to both him and his wife. And that was this message that God had really clearly indicated to them after their marriage that they should adopt the children. But they had not done that, and they had four children of their own, and they were needed to do fantastic work, but it came to them in a way that only God can show, that one of the reasons why you come back is to fulfill that act of obedience that I expected from you so many years ago. That was really the motivation for them to take on 5 more children, which is an amazing story. But I wanted to add that one layer. It was disobedience as Esau, and that is the reason why they kind of came back to fulfill that act that they needed to do before they could move forward. So let's remember that also in the story of Brother Christo and pray for that family as well. Shall we close the word of prayer? Gracious God, we thank you this morning again for helping us to really look into our hearts as we heard Brother Tom Fishback share his testimony and remind us of Scripture, which tells us, Lord, that whatever our intent be, we realize, O God, it is your design, your plan that should be the uppermost in our lives and our minds. And as we just heard about the story of even great men of God, a young man like Dr. Christo has done amazing things, and yet one misstep that they have made many years ago, according to them, they have now corrected. And we thank you and praise you for those of us who can be given grace to make amends for disobedience. We realize, Lord, that there are many warnings in your scriptures for those who don't fully obey the word of God. And we therefore want to pray for myself, for each of us, that, Lord, that you may help us to be obedient. And Amen. Remember your word, which teaches us that obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Remember those stories from old, and we pray, especially as our brother has testified to the way in which you have worked in his life. We do know, Lord, that it is true for many in this gathering and many outside of this gathering that you have indeed directed our steps. And we do pray still, Lord, that there are areas of correction, areas of obedience that need to be performed. We do pray that you would give us grace to be able to do that and to be in the center of your will. We thank you and praise you for these many incidents in Scripture that speak to us, many incidents from our own lives and those of others, like Brother Tom shared. We thank you for the beauty it is to know that as we are obedient to you, we know, Lord, that you will fulfill completely your plans and purposes for our life. Amen. We also thank you for the great grace that you show in using even our mistakes, even using our failures, and yet, Lord, working your plan, your marvelous plans through that, something that we can never figure out how, Lord, many failures have been there, not only in our lives, the men of God that we see in Scripture, and yet you use them in your grace and mercy for continued work and service for you. We therefore commit each one of us present here this morning Thank you, God, for every word that has come to us today, and we pray that you will continue to speak to us in our hearts and not make this just a Sunday morning experience, but we do pray that you will continue to speak to us during the week and help us, Lord, to stay close to your word, and Lord, come back again to be able to pray together, to be able to worship together, and Lord, help us all in this week. We especially pray for Sister Doris, as she is in great pain with the fracture in her lumbar vertebrae. We do pray for her as they go to the orthopedician this Thursday. We do pray, Lord, and ask for wisdom for the doctor to give right advice, and that, Lord, you may provide healing and above all relief from the pain that she's been undergoing for almost over a week. We therefore commit all these needs. Pray for all our dear ones, our little ones, our older ones. We ask for all the protection and reach. We ask this, giving you thanks in the most precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.